have wanted to pass me out as he kept on tooting his horn. I'll show him that a limousine is not a car to scorn. Beep, 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 beep. His horn went beep, beep, beep.
And there you have the Playmates doing their big hit record of Beep Beep, except doesn't sound exactly like the Beep Beep that I remember. We're going to have to ask the guys about this. In fact, the guys happen to be Donnie Kahn and Chick Heady of the Playmates, and I happen to have them both on the phone right now. And Donnie, how you doing?
I'm doing great. Just sitting here overlooking Santa Monica Bay.
And we have Chick Heady. Chick, how you doing?
I'm doing great, Ronnie. How about yourself?
I'm doing fine. And you're in Florida right now?
Yep, in Bradenton, Florida. Do you know where Bradenton is?
It's in Florida.
It's in Florida, right. In
That's
the United
right.
States.
Yeah. Great.
It's part of the Tampa Bay area.
Okay. What can you tell me, Donnie, about that song, the version that we heard? We're going to talk at length about how the song got written, Beep Beep, but just to put the cart before the horse for this particular aspect of the story, you're singing about a bubble car and a limousine, and that's not the way I originally remember the song.
We had to change it from the Cadillac.
The Cadillac, you had to change to a limousine?
Yeah, and a bubble car was the Rambler, because in England, the BBC didn't allow any mention of any product, so we just went in and re-recorded it, the limousine and the bubble car.
Then actually, I kind of like it anyway.
Yeah,
it makes a little more sense, because who remembers what a Rambler is?
The third member of the Playmates was a gentleman by the name of Maury Carr.
Unfortunately, he was a smoker, and he got lung cancer, and I'm not sure how many years ago he passed away.
Quite a few, probably 18 years ago.
And the sad thing about it is we get a lot of calls from these oldie shows that go on the road if we would be interested, and we said, well, not really, because the sound of our trio was the tenor of Maury's voice.
That's really true. He
right.
sang lead, and then Donnie and I sang harmony with him. But it was his voice that basically was
right.
the sound of the Playmates.
The three of you, that is you, Donnie, and you, Chick, and, of course, Maury, you were from Waterbury, Connecticut?
Yeah, we grew up in Waterbury, Connecticut, and we were musicians, so that's how we met. Maury and I went to one high school, and Chick went to another high school. However, being a small town, we got to know each other. And so we played together, and we had just a dance band around town. And then we all went to Marietta College in Ohio for 1 year.
Right.
Donnie and Maury went to Marietta in the beginning of the September semester, and I didn't. I worked to get some extra money together, and then I started school there in January because they went there.
It was the only school that would accept us because we all had such low grades.
Is that really true?
It's true.
Well, I don't know that.
Okay.
It sounds good.
We went to Marietta, Ohio for a year,
yeah.
and then we all transferred to our state university, University of Connecticut, which would not have accepted us at our 2-point average then.
My gosh, you make it sound like you guys from the very start were underachievers.
Not underachievers, we're just goof-offs.
Oh, you know, goof-offs?
We like to play music. And
and that took precedence over your studies?
Oh, yeah. I mean, we would play music all night. Who had time for homework?
What were your instruments?
I played the drums, Chick played piano, Maury played bass and trumpet. Then after we graduated, it was during the Korean War, I believe, we thought, well, let's go on the road until we get called in for the draft. We went on the road, and in the meantime, the Korean War was over, and they weren't calling young people anymore into the service. So we just went on the road, and we were in Sioux City, Iowa, and there was a group that we followed in there, and Frank DeRone, who incidentally is a very prominent guitarist and vocalist, was with that group, and the last night of their performance, we got together, and he started giving us the vocal parts to It's a Blue World with the four freshmen, and we start singing that, and we realized that we could harmonize. After we left that, then Chick started writing harmony parts to song. We start singing three-part harmony. It was inspired by the four freshmen. They were the greatest.
Did you have a name for your group?
Well, firstly, we started off as a Donnycon trio because I was always the businessman. Then we realized, well, we should have a group name. And since we were doing a lot of comedy, we called ourselves the Nitwits.
Well, you know, Donny was a little crazy, and he liked to perform crazy things on the stage, and so the Nitwits sounded pretty appropriate.
Okay.
We were three Nitwits.
Was Donny the chief Nitwit?
Yes, he was definitely a chief Nitwit.
And then when we started recording, the Nitwits didn't sound like a classy recording group, so since we were basically playmates since high school, we took the name the Playmates.
It was kind of a good name. The only thing I kind of resent about that or didn't like about the name was that we were a bit older. You know, we weren't 16 or 17.
Right.
We were, you know, to some of the kids like Frankie Avalon, we were old men.
Yeah.
I mean, we toured with Frankie Avalon, and we were 27 years old. He was like 15 or 16.
Yeah, he was just a mere lad.
You know, we certainly weren't Bobby Soxers.
No. But the interesting thing is that some of the Bobby Soxers bought your records.
They did. Absolutely, yeah. My wife was my chief admirer. We did a song called What Is Love? 5 Feet of Heaven and a Ponytail. Well, my wife was a young teenager at the time.
Right.
And she had a ponytail, and she thought that was written just for her.
Yeah, we're going to get to that song later on. It was Paul Vance that came up with that fantastic line. He wrote the song with Lee Pockris. Paul wrote the lyrics to it. And
yes, he did.
I'm Ronnie Allen, and I'm talking with both Donny Kahn and Chick Heady of the Playmates. And we're going to play all of your biggest hits. The first one was called Joanne. In order to have a hit record, you have to be on a record label. How did you get with Roulette Records?
Very interesting. We had just returned from an engagement in Nassau in the Bahamas. And while we were there, we learned two or three Calypso songs. So one was called Gumbe. And at the time, Harry Belafonte was the rage and a couple other Calypso acts. They thought there was going to be a Calypso craze. So we happened to read the trade papers where this new record company was starting up. That was Roulette, and they were looking for Calypso bands. So I called up and said, Mom, we just saw your ad that you're looking for Calypso bands. They said, you're a Calypso band? I said, oh, yes. They said, well, come on up. So we went up. They expected the three Bahamians come in, and here's three white breads from Waterbury, Connecticut. And we played these two or three Calypso songs.
Uh-huh.
Of course, we're trying anything we could to get signed up with a record company. Roulette Records was actually just starting, and they were putting the office together. Carpenters were running all over the place.
Right.
And we went in, and we asked if we could audition, and we did, and they signed us up.
And they said, gee, you guys are great. They said, do you have enough material to do an album? We said, oh, yes. They said, we start recording Monday. Well, we only need three songs. Well, we went back, Chick and I, wrote and wrote and wrote, and we wrote some beautiful songs. Our first Calypso with the Playmates, beautiful songs, but by the time they got the album out, Calypso was dead. That's the first thing we recorded with Roulette was Calypso.
But as it turned out, your great career was not going to be as a Calypso act.
No.
That's fair to say.
That was very short-lived.
That was very short-lived.
But then the record company liked us, and they said, do you have anything else to record? So we did Joanne. My wife was Joanne, and everyone said, did you record Joanne for your wife? And I always say, yes, that's my wife.
How did you get the song, Joanne? How did you hear about the song? Chick?
Joanne was written by two brothers, Cunningham brothers, and they recorded it, and we did a cover on it. Somebody at the record company said this would be a good tune for us. We did it, and it was.
Joanne! Joanne!
got to number 19 in Billboard from around January of 1958 when it made the chart. Ballad song for the Playmates called Joanne. And you had some competition with that record, didn't you? Wasn't there another group that did it? Twin Tones?
Yeah.
Who actually were the Cunningham Brothers.
Yeah.
But your version totally took over. What can you tell me about Don't Go Home? It became your second big hit record.
The arrangement was so good on that, the background. And then the way we always built. We always went up a half a tone, and then they brought in the background girl singers. So it just was a wonderful record.
To number 22 on the chart. Did you know that the Shirelles had a version of that song?
I knew that. I never heard it, though.
You never heard? I'm going to let you hear a few seconds of it right now. These are the Shirelles and Don't Go Home. So, what do you think?
I had no idea. Wow, isn't that amazing? I had no idea.
Anyway, we're going to move to a song, the one that came before Beep Beep. It came about a couple of months before Beep Beep. It was called The Day I Died. And it was not one of your huge hits, but it's one that Playmates fans remember.
It was just so clever. I don't know who wrote it. It was just so clever. You know, I dreamed the jukebox played The Day I Died, and a million rock and rollers slowly cried, and they all dropped shiny dimes in my coffin, remembering the times were often they rock and roll to a big, big record of mine. It was so cute.
Oh, I dreamed the jukebox played The Day I Died, and a million rock and rollers softly cried. Remembering the times which were often, they rock and roll to a
big, big record of mine. And on a late day, I could have flipped my lid. Do you know what I dreamed the jockeys went and did? They bought up all my records in each and every town and played them simultaneously. I dreamed the jukebox played the day I died. And a million rock and rollers softly cried. And while the stomping and the strolling, the ones are going on. All the cats are wearing the garnet is gone. I dreamed the jukebox played the day I died.
When we did decide to record it, it looked like it might be a novelty hit.
You know one of the reasons they didn't play it? They thought it was too morbid.
Too morbid, huh?
Yeah, I mean...
It was kind of mysterious, so...
Yeah.
As good as the record was, this was almost the day that your career died.
Yeah, we thought we were going to get another hit record.
The speed bump before Beep Beep, the day I died, and they were dropping dimes, but of course, pretty soon they were dropping quarters.
And then dollars.
And the whole thing. We're going to move to Beep Beep, and you wrote Beep Beep.
With Chick,
With Chick.
Our manager called us and said, we got a chance to maybe get on the Steve Allen or Ed Sullivan show. And since you guys do comedy, you have to have some number that has a little comedy and yet it's singing.
I see.
And I don't know, I just was laying in bed. I used to tell Beep Beep as a joke. So I just said, how can I put this joke into a song? And I just laid there this one night. I mean, I just wrote the words at night and the next day got together with Chick and kind of sang how I thought it, and he put it together. And at first we didn't change key, we didn't change speed. It sounded like it was going to drag, and this fellow who was kind of working with us as a manager said, why don't you pick up the speed? And then we decided that he'd go up a half tone. So it evolved. So we had something ready that if we went on TV, it was going to be funny and yet singing. Putting it in poetry form always makes something different. You know, I don't want to take credit for the total idea. It came from a joke.
How do I get this car out of second gear?
Yeah, that was the punchline of the joke. And it's not contemporary because I don't even know if the kids know what second gear is. Really, they don't drive standard shift cars.
Well, we're going to listen to this joke right now. What is not a joke is the fact that it got to number 4 on the chart, much to your surprise.
The thing is, it got a number 1 in many different areas.
That's right.
But never all at once.
While riding in my Cadillac, what to my surprise, a little Nash Rambler was following me about 1/3 my size. The guy must have wanted to pass me out as he kept on tooting his horn. I'll show him that a Cadillac is not a car to scorn. Beep, beep. Beep, beep. His horn went beep, beep, beep. I pushed my foot down to the floor to give the guy the shake. But the little Nash Rambler stayed right behind. He still had on his brake. He must have thought his car had more guts as he kept on tooting his horn. I'll show him that a Cadillac is not a car to scorn. Beep, 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 beep. His horn went beep, beep, beep. My car went into passing gear and we took off with gust. Soon we were doing 90, must have left him in the dust. When I peeked in the mirror of my car, I couldn't believe my eyes. The little Nash Rambler was right behind. I think that guy could fly.
beep, 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 beep. Tis Horn Whip, beep, beep, beep. Now we're doing 110. This certainly was a race. For a rambler to pass a caddy would be a big disgrace. The guy must have wanted to pass me out and kept on tooting his horn. I'll show him that a Cadillac is not a carcass corn. Beep, 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 beep. His horn went beep, beep, beep. Now we're doing 120 as fast as I could go. The rambler full inside of me as if we're going slow. The fella rolled out his window and yelled for me to hear. Hey, buddy, how can I get this car out of second gear?
The horn in that song, the sound effect, the horn. Beep.
Yeah.
Was that just an ordinary horn?
It was a horn like a rubber squeezer.
Have you saved it so that maybe you could auction it off on eBay or something?
No, I wish we had.
Now, that would be worth a fortune. You could auction off...
Came from the prop room somewhere, I don't know.
Yeah, but I mean, if you could say, this is the horn that you hear on Beep Beep, I mean, that would go for $1,000.
I wonder where it is.
Up until Beep Beep, I guess the most famous song about a drag race, if you want to call it a drag race, was the Hot Rod Lincoln song, which was done by a couple of people, Johnny Bond and Charlie Ryan, and Beep Beep was the all-time top one, I guess. I think it's fair to say, right?
Uh-huh. After the group broke up and I went out as a convention speaker, I would start to tell him about Beep Beep, not giving him the name, and I would start singing it. It's just solo.
Mm-hmm.
And
right.
Everyone in the audience, whether they were young people or old, always came along and said, beep, 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 beep. They would come up after me and say, you know, my parents used to play that song when I was a kid, or we played that song. It seemed like every generation knew
yeah.
that song.
Yeah.
Even today, if you tell people, oh, yeah, beep, 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 how do I get this car to second gear?
People remember it. It's one that has stood the test of time, certainly. Chick, any thoughts on this?
I don't know why. I mean, I know people that are too young. They shouldn't remember that song, but they do, maybe because their parents played it or something other than that, you know.
Probably. We're going to move right along now to a song called What is Love? Let me ask you the question. What is love? Five feet of
heaven and a ponytail.
5 feet of heaven and a ponytail. The cutest ponytail.
That sways with a wiggle when she walks.
Paul Vance wrote the lyrics to this, and Lee Pockris wrote the melody, and Paul's a very, very creative guy. This particular one has some great instrumentation in it. There's trombones.
Yeah, trombone section. The arrangement was so good on that.
Sways with a wiggle when she walks. 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 What is love? 5 feet of heaven in a ponytail. The cutest ponytail that sways with a wiggle when she walks. What is love? 5 feet of heaven and the bluest eyes. And what a pretty smile that shows you a dimple when she talks. What is love but a little angel who's making me lose my sleep? And she's always breaking promises that she says she'll keep. What is love? 5 feet of heaven in a ponytail. The cutest ponytail that sways with a wiggle when she walks. The cutest ponytail that sways with a wiggle when she walks. Sways with a wiggle when she walks.
Donnie, I like that song. Very catchy, and of course, back in those days, songs had hooks.
Paul Vance, incidentally, wrote Itsy Bitsy Teeny Weeny Yellow Stop Patini, and
yes.
Catch a Falling Star.
Yep.
He wrote a lot of great songs. He was a good songwriter.
Right.
And a good friend.
Well, Donnie and Chick, this has been so much fun reminiscing and listening to all these great songs. Donnie, I just want to talk a little bit about what you've been doing. You did stand-up comedy for years.
Well, after the group broke up, I went out and I worked the Playboy circuit and the cruise ships and different nightclubs, and then I found a market in being a humor speaker at meetings and conferences and conventions for association corporations, which is a big market. People would ask me after I did my presentation, they'd say, Donnie, who can you recommend for next year? So I figured, well, let me start a business. So I started a business called Convention Connection, and we book speakers and entertainers for events around the country. Now I've gotten to the point where I don't go out anymore. I just call people and become a salesman for other people.
Chick, what are you doing these days?
Well, I'm retired. I'm living in Florida. I've been here since 1991. I love building things, and I love gardening, and I love watching tennis, and I love watching baseball, and I read, and I drink a lot of wine.
I want to wish the two of you all the best, health, happiness, success. I thank you so much for taking the time to talk to us and to let your fans revisit some of the great music that you made during the
and
period of time.
And know that I've been married for 52 years and have a wonderful wife by the name of Joanne.
Well, that's appropriate, isn't it?
And three lovely kids and two grandchildren, so life has been wonderful.
You had a hit record and a hit wife.
Hit wife.
I picked out a great one to close off the show. Paul Vance, who we just mentioned, wrote this lyric, and Lee Pockris wrote the music. Chick, what are your thoughts on Wait For Me?
Well, primarily, when I first heard it, I thought a girl should sing it, because it says, Johnny, wait for me.
Right.
And I thought that was a girl's lyric. I guess the way we did it, it didn't matter. We were just singing about a girl.
But there's a girl in the record that's going, Johnny, wait for me.
Yes.
Okay, so...
Yeah, the background singing.
So actually, technically, a girl was singing that part, and then you were telling the story.
Yeah, but when I first heard it, I really thought a girl should be singing it. But evidently not. I mean, I was wrong. Again.
My daughter used to love this song. She always liked love songs. My little girl, Keela, used to cry when she'd hear it. You know, it's a boy and girl thing.
When I first met her, she was only three, and I remember how she followed me. She was always getting in my way, and I still, yes, I still can hear her say, wait for me, Johnny, please wait for me. I love you more than I can hardly stand. Wait for me, Johnny, please wait for me. I'll grow up just as fast as I can. As we grew older, she would always wait. She'd wait for me by the schoolyard gate. I would yell at her to go away, and I still, yes, I still can hear her say, wait for me, Johnny, please wait for me. I love you more than I can hardly stand. Wait for me, Johnny, please wait for me. I'll grow up just as fast as I can. And now we're grown up, but she didn't wait. And I'm in love with her, but it's too late. She just married someone else today, and I still, yes, I still can hear her say, wait for me, Johnny, please wait for me. I love you more than I can hardly stand. Wait for me, Johnny, please wait for me. I'll grow up just as fast as I can.
Well, that's the show. Now a couple of bonus tracks by The Playmates. This one's a little bit different, showing another side of The Playmates from the musical My Fair Lady. These are The Playmates with Get Me to the Church on Time.
In the morning, ding dong, the bells are gonna chime. Pull out the stopper, let's have a whopper, but get me to the church on time. I gotta be there in the morning, spruced up and looking in my prime. Girls, come and kiss me, show how you miss me, but get me to the church on time. If I am dancing, roll up the floor. If I am whistling, me out the door. For I'm getting married in the morning. Ding dong, the bells are gonna chime. You come for office, but don't lose your compass. And get me to the church, get me to the church. For Pete's sake, get me to the church on time. Let's have a whopper, but get me to the church on time. Girls, come and kiss me, show how you miss me, but get me to the church on time. If I am dancing, roll up the floor. If I am whistling, me out the door. For I'm getting married in the morning. Ding dong, the bells are gonna chime. Kick up for office, but don't lose your compass. And get me to the church, get me to the church. For Pete's sake, get me to the church.
And finally, here's one that's more in the conventional Playmates sound. This is a record called When the Wreck, When the Wreck, When the Wreck, When the Wreck, When the Record Goes Around.
When the wreck, when the wreck, when the wreck, when the wreck, when the record goes around. When the record goes around, around, I take you in my arms and hold you near. And then I whisper softly in your ear while the record goes around. When we're dancing all alone like this, I know that it will end up in a kiss. And so my eager heart begins to pound while the record goes around. That same old song keeps on playing. The record goes around, around, but we're too much in love to hear it play. Besides, we're both a million miles away. While the record goes around, that same old song keeps on playing. Over and over and over, I know, I guess I should change it, but I just can't let And so the record goes around, around, but we're too much in love to hear it play. Besides, we're both a million miles away. While the record goes around, the record goes around, 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 but we're too much in love to hear it play. Too much in love. Besides, we're both a million miles away. While the record goes around, while the record, while the record, while the record, while the record goes.